few weeks ago, I had the amazing schus of being in Eretz Yisrael. And Thursday night, it was Thanksgiving weekend, Parshas Chayesara. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I had an amazing schus to meet with a very big tzaddik at the Kaisel Maharavi, Rav Melech Biderman. Recently, he's pretty famous in his kuntras, his pamphlets that go around for Shabbos, Ber Parsha, Ber Chaim. He's a mashbia in Bnei Brak, the son of the Lulavar Rebbe. One of my talmidim has a relationship with him and was able to work out that I'd had the schus to meet with him. We only had a few minutes. The first thing I asked him, I looked at the Rebbe. I said, Rebbe, I'm here in Eretz Yisrael, in Baruch Hashem. When I'm in Eretz Yisrael, it's so much easier to daven, it's so much easier to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah. But I often struggle in my tefillos. I often don't connect the way I'd like to. I often don't have the proper kavana. How can I work on my tefillah? And Rav Melech Biderman, he looked at me, and he looked into my eyes, and he said with all mamish full of tremendous sincerity, I too struggle in my tefillah. And I also have to work on my tefillah often. And then we went on to discuss, and he gave me various pieces of advice on how to enhance my tefillahs. There's a famous story that's told, I'm sure we all heard it at a young age, but we have to understand the depth of this story. There was a boy in Europe, and he didn't have the schus of a Jewish education the way that we have. He grew up at a young age, he already had to work, he was a shepherd. And he became bar mitzvah. He didn't really have much for his bar mitzvah, he didn't really do much for his bar mitzvah, but he knew he was 13 years old, he was obligated to mitzvos, and it was Yom Kippur. And he wanted to dive into Hashem. He wanted to go to shul on Yom Kippur. Yet he didn't know how to dive in. He didn't know how to read a word of Hebrew. He didn't know how to open up a siddur. He didn't even know the Aleph Beis. So what's he going to do? But he said, I have to be in shul. It's Yom Kippur. And he goes to the shul. He lived in Bardichev. And he goes to the shul of the Heilige Kedushas Levi. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Bardichev. And he walks into the shul, and he looks around. It's Mamish Yom Kippur, the entire Ke'ilah, all the Mitzvahim are swaying, are davening, tears are streaming down their cheeks, davening for the upcoming year, davening for their families. And he doesn't know what to do. But he was an excellent whistler. He was excellent at whistling. That's how he would used to gather in his sheep, go move from place to place as a shepherd. So he doesn't know much about what goes on in the shul. He sees the Aron Kodesh. He goes straight up to the Aron Kodesh. He lifts his eyes up to Shemayim. And he starts to whistle to Hashem. And he's whistling to the Ribono Shel'Olam. And the members of the Kehillah, the members of the congregation are getting upset. It's disturbing. And they try to shush him, and he continues with all his heart, whistling to Hashem. And a few members of the Kehillah, they go over and they start to lift him up. They want to really take him out of the shul. He's disturbing the tefillah of Yom Kippur. And the Kedushas Levi, Levi Berdichev, he sees what's going on. And he goes over to the bima and he claps. And he explains that the tefillos on that Yom Kippur, he was having a hard time because they weren't penetrating Shemayim. He was very worried for the people of Berdichev. But he said, when this little boy came, and this little boy started whistling to Hashem, those whistles were going straight up to Shemayim through any gates. And they were carrying together with the whistles all the tefillos of the entire congregation. I'm sure some of us have heard the story before. But what does this story really mean? Can I walk into shul, mincha today, and forget about my siddur and just whistle to Hashem? Is that going to really be so powerful? Why was it that the whistling of this boy carried all the tefillos up to Shemayim? What's really going on? It's a nice chassid to Shemayim, but what's really going on? To understand this, we really have to ask ourselves maybe a more fundamental question. We go into shul and we daven. We daven for all different types of things. Lo aleinu chas v'sholom, an individual is not well. An individual has a machl, has a sickness. And that individual goes into shul and is davening to Hashem for refuah, for health. Now when that individual got sick, we believe in God. Obviously we believe in God. If we're talking to God, we obviously believe in God, right? So we also believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Dayan Emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the most perfect judge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands everything in this world, everything that was before and everything that's after, way greater than any of us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rabbonu Shalom, the master of the universe, he decided that this individual should be sick for whatever reason it is. Now we might not understand it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that decision. So I'm going to go into shul and I'm going to daven that I should be well, and that should change the mind of God. Hashem was Geyser. Hashem made a decree. Hashem, and that was taken into account. Everything he should be taken into account. What do my tefillahs do? Why are my tefillahs going to change anything? So Rav Yosef Elbo, in the Sefer HaIkarim, he explains something so special about tefillah. He explains that when we daven, we are connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very deep way. A lot of how Rabbi Penner explained a few moments ago. We're building a very deep relationship with Hashem, recognizing we go into Shemoneh Esrei, we recognize HaKel, HaGadol, HaGibor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all great and powerful. We beseech of Hashem for that which we want and that which we need, and recognize through that God is able to give us everything that He does provide for us. We walk into Shemoneh Esrei and we develop this deep kesher, this deep relationship with Hashem. And then when I walk out of my Shemoneh Esrei, it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to walk out a completely different person. If I really davened, if I didn't just go in and use my Shemoneh Esrei as a Hebrew reading exercise, but I actually davened, so I had to have walked into my davening and walk out of my davening a completely different person. I built a relationship with Hashem that wasn't there beforehand. I developed what Shulchan Aruch begins with. You open up the first Ramah, Shavisi Hashem L'negdi Samid. The first Ramah in all of Shulchan Aruch. The first Halacha, that God should be opposite me always. And in my Shemoneh Esrei, I felt that. I developed that. So when I walked into Shemoneh Esrei, I was Aryeh Cohen. But I walked out of my Shemoneh Esrei, I'm not the same person. I'm a completely different person. Rabbi Yosef Elbo explains that that's how tefillah works. It's not that we change the gzeira of Hashem. Who are we to change the decree of God? But we change ourselves. I'm a completely different person. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that Ploni, a particular individual, should have a machla, should have some sort of sickness. And that individual goes into Shemoneh Esrei, goes into their tefillah, and develops this relationship, this bond with God, and walks out a different person. That person's been transformed. So now that decision, that decree, is no longer on that person because the person's not the same person. It's not that God changes anything. We've changed. We've become a completely different person in our tefillah. And that's the point of tefillah. It's not necessarily anything that we said exactly. It's not necessarily any of the exact words. It's developing a relationship with Hashem, having a deeper kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore walking out of that tefillah a completely different person. You know, a few years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael, January time. I have this chus every single January to go visit all the Talmidim who are learning in Eretz Yisrael. And I sit down with the guys and see how they're doing and try to be mechazek in areas that are need and really I am the one who walks out with the most chizik in the world, looking at these Talmidim and how they've grown and what they've gained. And I'll never forget, there was one Talmud a few years ago, I was sitting down with him in his yeshiva, and we were talking, and I asked him, what's he doing? You know, he's telling me all his limudim. It was incredible. He was like, mamish, like finishing shas. Like going through Gemaras, like mamish was comic books. Like incredible, incredible learning. Gemaras, and he had a halachas in it. But he didn't mention to me anything about Musar Seder. He didn't mention that he had any Musar Seder. And to me, it's very important to have a Musar Seder. To develop that relationship with Hashem, and all the other learning is elevated in a very special way. The Nefesh HaChaim speaks about this at length in Shaar Dalet. So I asked him, what about Musar Seder? He says, Rabbi, I go to a Musar Vad once in a while, but daily I don't have Musar Seder. But I'll tell you, I have Musar every day, three times a day. I found this year that there's no greater Musar than the Seder, than my Shmon Esrei, than my Davening. You learn from your students more than anyone else. I never thought of it like that until that day. And I remember that next tefillah that I davened after talking to that Talmud. It was a different davening. Because I paid attention to the words like I hadn't ever before in my life. And it was a Musar Seder for me. I walked in and out of that tefillah a different person. And it is. That's what tefillah is. It's three times a day Musar Seder. And therefore, I walk out of my Shemona Esrei, I walk out of my Tefillah, a completely different person. And maybe that's how we could explain the famous Reb Chaim. There's a Reb Chaim that explains a stira, a contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam, in Hilchos Tefillah, in Perek Dalet Halacha Tesvav, says, Kavanas Halev Keitzar. What does our Kavana need to be? What does our intention in our Tefillah need to be? Kol tefillah she'ena bekavana, ena tefillah. Any tefillah that I don't have kavana, I don't have the proper mindset, is not a considered tefillah. V'misbalo below kavana, chozer misbalo bekavana. And if you davened without kavana, the Rambam says you have to go back and daven again. Any tefillah, any part of my Shemona Esrei. By the way, don't get scared. We don't paskin that way, the Mishnah Berurah, we don't paskin that way practically. Unfortunately, the reason is because the probability is we won't have Kavana again. And we might end up in Shemona Esrei all day long. It may not be such a bad thing, but that's the halacha. But then there's another Rambam in Perek Yud. In Perek Yud, halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Mishus Balo V'lo Kivenes Libo. Someone who davens and doesn't have Kavana, Yachzor V'Yisbalo, should go back and daven. So far, exactly the same. However, v'im kiven es libo bebracha rishona, if you had kavana in the first bracha, avos, shuveinu tzarech. You don't have to go back and daven again. Seems like an apparent contradiction in the Rambam. On one hand, the Rambam says, in Perek Dalet Halacha Tesvav, any tefillah, any part of tefillah, that you don't have kavana, you have to repeat your entire Shemona Esrei. And now in Perek Yud, as long as you have kavana in the first bracha, you're good to go. No problem. You could have, if you have no kavana, the rest of Shemona Esrei, you're okay. So comes along Reb Chaim. And Reb Chaim explains there are two different types of kavana. One kavana is da lifnei miata omed. Just that you have to know who you're standing in front of. To know I'm standing in front of God. That kavana, to know you're standing in front of God, to know that I'm talking to Hashem, that I'm in conversation with Hashem, that I'm in the palace of the king, that kavana you have to have all Shemona Esrei long. If there's a moment you don't have it, your Shemona Esrei was worthless, the Rambam holds. As far as the first bracha goes, where the Rambam says if you don't have kavana in the first bracha, then you have to be choizer, you have to go back, that's talking about pirish hamilim. Knowing what the words mean. In the first bracha, you have to know what the words mean as well. Why? Now maybe we could understand. If all of Shemona Esrei is supposed to be a Musar Seder, and according to Rabbi Yosef Elbow, Shemona Esrei is not for the Ribbono Shel Olam, but for me to change. So first of all, of course, I have to know I'm talking to God and develop that relationship with Hashem throughout all of Shemot Esrei. Otherwise, it's worthless. But the first bracha and the first bracha alone, I have to know what I'm saying also. What are the words of the first bracha? Hakel, Hagadol, Hagiber, Hanoira. I'm recognizing how awesome and amazing and the Ribbono Shalom is in this world and in my life. That's what it's all about. That's the Shavisi Hashem Langdi Summit that I'm developing through my Shemot Esrei. So that's every Shemot Esrei, what I need to have. I have to know I'm talking to Hashem and I have to pay attention to that first bracha. Halavai, not that we shouldn't have Kavanah, the rest of Shemot Esrei knowing what the words mean. Of course, that could elevate every tefillah. I have the schus of calling one of my rabbeim to one of the gedolim, who unfortunately was nifter a few years ago, Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir. I was very, very close with him. And one time I walked into him and asked him for advice on my davening. And he gave me two pieces of advice. One piece of advice was that before I starch my Shemot Esrei, when I take my three steps back, my three steps forward, before I start, before I say any word, before Hashem says I tivdach, think for 10, 15 seconds that I'm about to talk to Hashem. That I'm about to enter into the palace of Hashem and talk to Hashem. It's a very simple thought. But it's taken me a very far way. Sometimes we just go through the motions. Just stop 10 seconds, 15 seconds. I'm about to talk to Hashem. That was one etzah. And the second etzah, he told me, was try to the best of your ability to always look in your sitter and daven from a sitter. Also something very simple. And you should know, I used to watch the Rosh Yeshiva all the time. And the Rosh Yeshiva, many of you, if not all of you know, had Parkinson's disease. And Mamish's entire body was swinging in every direction you could imagine. And he would stand there in the front of the Beis Medrash in his makom, and when he was davening with the sitter open by his shtender, to the best of his ability, not just looking inside his sitter, but with his finger on the place, on the exact word that he was up to. The Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, of Nassim Tzvi Finkel. Trust me, he knew every word by heart. But he felt that was best for his kavanah. And that was the etzah he was giving me. And I was thinking about it later, maybe it's connected, these two ideas in the Rambam. To first stop and recognize, I'm about to talk to Hashem, so dalef ne miyata omeid, so I know throughout my Shemot Esrei who I'm in front of. And when I'm looking inside the sitter, I'll have a much easier time thinking about what the words mean. And the pirush hamilim, and not just using that time for Hebrew reading exercises, but actually making it a meaningful tefillah. And ultimately a meaningful tefillah for myself. Ultimately a meaningful tefillah so that I walk out a completely different person. You know, in Parshas Bereishis, all the way at the beginning of time, the first chait of humanity, so the impetus of that chait was the nachash, was the snake, as we all know. And the pasuk tells us that the snake is cursed because of that. Vayomer Hashem Elokim el nachash, ki asisa zos ararat tami kol abehema. Because you did this, you're cursed. When we call chayas asada from all other animals, from all behemas and ochayas, and therefore, what's the curse? We all know it. Al gachoincha tzeleich va'afar tochel kol yimechayecha. You're going to have to go and move and travel on your belly. You lose your legs, and you'll eat from the dust of the world all the days of your life. So some ask, that's a klala? That's a curse? Thus is the biggest bracha. The nachash was just told, you have everything in the world you need. What is your achila? What is your parnasa? What is your food? Dust of the earth. You're going to find it everywhere at every moment. That's a klala, that's a bracha, that's amazing. Imagine the Ribbono Shel Olam tells you, one day you wake up and you have a nevuah from the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm going to give you $100 million. You're set for life. Dust is a klala. That's basically what the nachash was told. All that was important is for an animal is its sustenance. Here's all your sustenance. So comes Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter explains, when the nachash got everything it needed, that means there's no more need for the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no more need to daven, there's no more need for tefillah. There's no more need to develop that kesher through davening with the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no need for bakasha. I have it, I'm good to go for life. The Ribbono Shel Olam was basically telling that nachash, I want nothing to do with you. Take it all and get out of here. There's no more need for tefillah. Tefillah is the greatest way to develop a relationship with Hashem. That's how I develop and get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no bigger klala not to have tefillah. There's no bigger curse not to have tefillah. You know, in Pirkei Avos, the second Mishnah, we say, Ashlosha Devarim Olam Omid, Al Torah Avoda Gmilas Chasadim. The world was created with three pillars. Torah, Avoda Gmilas Chasadim. Torah, learning Torah, Avoda, Eiz Avoda Shebelev Zeh, Tefillah is Tefillah, and Chesed. You know, we like to categorize things in Yiddishkeit. So you could categorize, perhaps, all the mitzvahs ben adam l'makom, all the mitzvahs ben adam l'chaver, all the mitzvahs between us and God, all the mitzvahs that are interpersonal relationships. So if I had to categorize and give the symbolic mitzvah for ben adam l'makom, it would be Torah. Symbolic mitzvah ben adam l'chaver, chesed. What's tefillah doing there? I would say that just goes in the category of Torah. It's another mode of ben adam l'makom. And it's the middle, the glue that keeps it all together. The Maral explains in his Pirish on Pirkei Avos, that obviously chesed is ben adam l'chavero, between us and our fellow friend. Torah is actually ben adam l'atzmo. Torah, you build an intellectual understanding of this world, you build yourself. And only tefillah is ben adam l'makom. Only tefillah connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its very essence. And let me explain. Chesed, of course, everything in this life should connect us to Hashem. But there are people who do plenty of beautiful acts of chesed and don't think about God for one moment. There are many Bein HaHumos HaOlam, many non-Jews that are wonderful, giving people, empathetic, caring people that are not necessarily connected to Hashem. We can connect to Hashem and we're emulating God. But in its very essence, we don't necessarily. Learning Torah as well. On an intellectual level, it's incredible. And there are many non-from Jews and scholars throughout the world that study Talmud and study Bible and whatever it might be. Of course, we should connect to Hashem through Torah. But in its very essence, not necessarily. Tefillah, by definition, in its very essence, I'm connecting to Hashem. Tefillah is an act of connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why it's right there in the middle. Because that should be the glue to my Torah and to my chesed. Because ultimately, it should all connect us to Hashem. But when I daven, I develop this deep relationship with Hashem. And I walk into my tefillah and I'm out of my tefillah, a very different person. And now we could understand the story that we began with. Kedushas Levi tells his whole entire keilah that this 13-year-old boy is whistling, is carrying all the tefillahs up to Shemayim. Because it's not necessarily about what we're saying. It's not necessarily about what the words are and if we understand what every word means. It's a time to develop a deep relationship with Hashem. And that young boy, in his way, during his tefillahs, was connecting to Hashem in the deepest of ways. He got it, Shavisi Hashem Negdi Samad, in the way that he could. And hopefully now, every single tefillah that we enter into, we can have this in mind, with the Eitzas of the Rosh Hashiva, with the idea of Rav Yosef Elbow, to walk in my tefillah and walk out a completely different person. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Simcha Baruch.